Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, wacky devils and demons. This is Nurse Hatsuit. You are listening to the Wolfpack.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to experience may be the most exciting night of your life. Your seat will start rumbling. Your heart will start to pound. But don't be alarmed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you came here for. The party starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you loud, live, and direct from the darkest depths of your imagination. Welcome.
You are listening to An Awakening in Horror with host William Pattison on the Wolfpack Presents.
You're Satan, aren't you?
Oh, boy, I could never sit through this without a couple of beers, you know?
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Oh, yeah! I want to tell you about this city radio, man. It's a new castle. Now, yeah! A world of magic glasses and chemical blues. A world where it can't be unknown and why it's a zero. Yeah, rugged sounds is on my radio. 20 more lashes of grotesque audio. Glittering fountains misspent youth. I'm a rhinestone tiger in a leisure suit.
Excellent day for an exorcism.
I'll tell you one thing, man. Nothing ever happens until you medicate the witch queen of Mondo and hail the family of King George. Everybody is eating a mayhap of the gods with their plastic necks and their silver teeth. Oh, yeah! Yeah, is there light and beyond what you know? Hallucinations lies in my stereo. Astonishing skeptics, wasted youth. She's an angel of all in a perfect suit.
Rubs the lotion on its skin. Else gets the hose again.
Yes, who?
That's an intro.
Yes, it is.
Hello, it is February 28th,
It is actually clear here in San Mateo, California, and you are listening to the best in horror community talk, and right here on the Wolfpack Podcast presents An Awakening in Horror. Hello, I am your host, William Patterson, a.k.a. Eric Morris. And, man, you know, people ask me why I called this new show An Awakening in Horror, because the thing is that there is an awakening in horror. The fans are no longer being quiet and taking what, you know, taking what's given to them. They're not sitting there like sheep anymore and going, "Oh, yes, you know, this person, oh, just give me crap." Nope. Now they are giving the filmmakers crap and telling them, we want better material. Which is great. And they're telling the horror magazines that they want better content, and it's a revolution in the horror community. It literally is. The fans are stepping up, and hopefully horror is going to start elevating again, and we're going to get back to the glory that we once were in the entertainment industry. Let's just hope so. Anyways, so been an amusing time for me right now. You know, I'm still getting over a cold. If you've been keeping track of me on Facebook, I had that flu, and then because of having that flu, I've had a cold hit because of my, you know, my system's all fucked up. So it's just been a ton of fun. Anyways, so, you know, yesterday was a horrible day for me. One of my childhood mentors died, you know, Leonard Nimoy. You know, I mean, you know, Star Trek was very important to me when I was young. I was very much a huge Star Trek fan. So Leonard is a major part of my childhood. Him and William Shatner. So losing him is really been hard on me. I remember when I went and was working with Harv Bennett on Star Trek III. There was one day when we actually went to the set, and I actually got to meet Leonard. My God, how many years ago that was. But yeah, I mean, he was just very nice, very soft-spoken, very, very intelligent gentleman. I really love Leonard, and it is hard on us that he is gone now. But the thing is that, I mean, that's the nature of our lives. You know, life, you know, we are not immortal. At least our bodies are not immortal. We don't know about our souls. You know, I can only hope that Leonard has gone on to a better place and that. So anyways, you know, we were, you know, I subject on this show today is trolls, hackers, and flame wars. And how it will affect this renaissance that we're having in the horror community right now. Now, you know, for the most part, it's been amazing, you know. You know, since the end of 2014 to here, I mean, you know, hell, we're almost in March. You know, we're only a few hours from March. And, well, at least here. And I haven't heard about any major flame wars. I haven't heard about anything. The one thing that I have been hearing is trolls. Trolls are still out there. They're still attacking people and stuff. Me, you know, what's amazing is for myself, and you're going to be surprised about this, the Morris bashers have given up. Literally. I mean, you know, for years I've had to deal with like maybe 100 pieces of hate mail a day. And over the last month, my hate mail has dropped to near nothing. The bashers have pretty much disappeared. They got tired. They decided that, you know, they were wasting their time because they weren't getting to me the way that they thought. And they've just moved on. And, yeah, I don't have to go through all that bullshit, you know, every day. It's amazing. It feels so good. I still have trolls that are still bothering me. But luckily I can count them on one hand. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good when you get down to it. Other friends of mine are having the same situation, except for them, they haven't had this all these years, but all of a sudden these, you know, these trolls are coming around and attacking them and trying to push them to get out of the horror community and stuff and just making their lives hell. A friend of mine who is a local horror hostess, we were talking just recently, and she said that she's been getting in hate mail, some really bad hate mail from people. You know, she hardly ever got any, and now she's getting hit really hard. And, you know, she's dealing with a lot of stuff right now. So, you know, I feel sorry for her. I know how hard it is when you're in a situation like that. You know, it really does. It gets on your nerves, and you're just, You're asking yourself, you know, is it worth it? You know, should I stay around? And, you know, with me, you know, I mean, I had it for years. I had it from 2004 till, you know, almost the end of last year. So that's 2014. So almost 10 years of just constantly being attacked by trolls and haters and stuff. And that works on you. It really does. I mean, you guys noticed how snipey I got, was, and that. Well, that was the reason. I mean, when you're constantly being slammed and constantly being told that you're oh, he's a stalker, oh, he's this, oh, he's that, it gets to you. It really does. It affects you, and you get almost a adversarial mindset. But luckily, you know, since the end of 2014, things have changed quite a bit. You know, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, I released my two books, and I'm working on the third now, you know, third of my new books, you know, my eighth book to be exact. And, you know, these assholes who sat there and said that I was a has-been and all this, they're having to shut the trap. You know, I mean, even fucking Uncle Bob Martin, who was sitting there and, you know, got me thrown off of Wikipedia and that, and sat there and bold-faced said on Facebook that I was nothing more than a footnote in horror, he's going to have to fucking eat his words. Because the thing is, I'm not. And, you know, I mean, seriously, you know, I did a lot for the horror community. I mean, you know, over the past few years, I've taken a lot of heat trying to put out what the bullshit is going on. And, you know, I mean, people sat there and said, oh, well, you know, everybody knows it. That's the way things are, you know, and that, well, yeah, but if people start bringing it out and it starts getting exposed into the light, people will have changing it. That's the thing. I mean, if you keep it a secret, if you keep it within, you know, it's kind of an acceptance of this. And that's what we don't need in horror. That's what drugged down the horror community, is the fact that people were being quiet, people were letting this shit go, and they were being overly accepting. I mean, shit. There were filmmakers who probably would have been the next batch of Romero's and Wes Craven's and that, but they didn't get a chance. They didn't get a chance because of the horror socials and the horror nasties and how they were fucking playing the game around here. I mean, horror socials were sitting there taking people's financing, cheating, fucking tearing down entire production, and people were being quiet about it. They were acting very laissez-faire, and that is not the way that it should be. People should be standing up. Shit, people. This is horror we're talking about. This is the stuff we love. We shouldn't have to accept third-rate horror films. We shouldn't bullied. We shouldn't have any of this shit. And that's what I told you. That's what I told you. And little by little, I chipped away at the facade of the horror community. And people are listening now. People are writing in blogs. William Pattison, Eric Morris was right. So, you know, and the lies that the trolls put out. People are learning that that's what they are, is lies. You know, you're sitting, you know, they're sitting there saying, oh, Eric Morris went and stalked actresses. Bullshit. I did not stalk actresses. I commented on actresses that did stuff to me. Fine. You know, because I'm not going to sit there and take shit from people. Way. That's just the way I am. I don't take shit from people. And I will come down on them. Full tilt boogie. The difference between me and the stalkers, I mean, hell, the real stalkers are the people who were writing those fucking blogs against me. You know, Lord Dickwad and Tom Gully. Those are the stalkers. I mean, seriously, Tom Gully has crossed the line. He's crossed the line with more than one person. He didn't just call my work and tried to get me fired from my job. He's done it with other people. He actually did. I mean, he started this shit with me. Then he started calling other people's works and saying shit. And causing trouble for other people. Sorry, excuse me for the sneeze. Anyways, but yeah, shit like this, going out of line, you know, I mean, you know, people assaulting people. I mean, look at what happened with Shar Hardin, you know, getting beat up and thrown in a garbage can. Me, some assholes going and pelting me with a fucking 32-ounce bottle, hitting me in the head with that. The fucking harassment I went through, you know, having my website attacked, hacked, and torn down, you know, and that shit didn't just happen to me, it happened to other people as well. Shit, that whole Violet Van Dorn bullshit where she's trying to, you know, get women in horror to take me down. Luckily, you know, Women in Horror had a smart leader, Hannah Neurotica, who knew that was crossing the line. And she shut that shit down. You know, actually, you know, one thing I do want to talk about in regard to Women in Horror is the fact that Women in Horror this year have actually gone on a very progressive thing in regard to Women in Horror Month. Instead of all the huge-ass self-promotion that they were doing the last few years, they actually went for an educational and promoting people outside their ranks. And they've kept, you know, there wasn't all these podcasts where the ambassadors of Women in Horror came on and just said, oh, I love you, oh, I love you, and having the Saskas come on for 10 minutes talking about WWE. The only thing is that this year, of course, the Saskas decided to be lazy. I mean, yeah, I don't agree with them in those fucking blood drives, because what does a fucking blood drive have to do with giving recognition to women in horror? It has nothing to do with it. Sorry. But that's the truth. It doesn't. The only thing it, you two sat up there and got self-promotion out of it. Oh, look at us. We're the fabulous Saska sisters, and we're doing this blood drive because we're so charitable. Fuck you. And this year, they're fucking so damn lazy is that they're not even hosting their own blood drive. They're just sitting there going, oh, yes, you know, this year We're doing a remote blood drive, and all it is that anyone who wants to can donate blood and say that, oh, yes, it's for Women in Horror Month. Oh, give me a fucking break. Yeah, you guys are so busy doing your fucking selfies and fucking going, ooh, cheerleaders for WWE. Ooh, we love Vince McMahon. Yeah, right. You call yourself feminist, Jen and Sylvia? Give me a fucking break. You're working for one of the biggest misogynists in the business. You are sitting there supporting misogyny. I'm sorry, that is the truth. Oh my fucking God. You know, I mean, the only good thing that you guys did was you did a profile on another female filmmaker. Turns out it was one of your friends, but, you know, who gives a shit? That's the only thing that you did for Women in Horror Month that was actually really good and honest and upright. One little thing. And you're on the fucking board of Women in Horror Month. What the fuck? Give me a break. Jesus, but at least this year, I can honestly give praise to Women in Horror Month. They are doing things a little bit better. They're actually standing by their mission statement, which is all I really was pointing out, is that they weren't going by their mission statement. Shit, ladies, that was the reason why Debbie Rochon walked away from Women in Horror, is because of the fact that she was disgusted with it. She wanted a progressive stance, and you weren't giving it. I mean, hell, she was one of the women that tried to start the first female horror convention for Women in Horror. And you guys did it once and then backed away. And that's not the way to do it. I mean, if you wanted to be progressive, you wanted to promote women in horror so much, why didn't you continue with the convention? That was the highest point in Women in Horror. Seriously, that really was. That was a big moment when you guys did the all-female convention. And this is coming from a man, so I'm just telling you. You know, I actually went to that and I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. That was actually the first time I ever saw Dae Green. I never actually came up to her or anything because I didn't know her at the time. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Women in Horror, just progressive. Keep it progressive and do that. Now, back to the trolls and stuff. I mean, seriously, people, in regards to these trolls and these flame wars, I mean, seriously, if you have nothing to do with a situation between two people, shut the fuck. Leave it alone. Don't intercede. I don't care if this is your friend or not, let them fight their own battle. And if you are what you call a fucking horror star, you don't send your fans after people. You don't accept shit like that. If you hear about people doing shit in your name, you're supposed to tell them back the fuck off. That's what I didn't like about the Saskas. You know, half the crap I've gotten the last 2 years has been because of them, because of our little disagreement. And people fucking messing around because they want to start shit. They want to play games. That's bullshit. You need to fucking back off. If you have nothing to do with the conflict, shut the fuck up. That is the way it should be. And stop trying to twist the facts. As I said so many times, you know, and I'm through fucking explaining myself to a bunch of billholes. I literally am. I'm fed up with it. The whole thing with the Oscars was not because of my birthday. It was because they were friends. And I asked them to do one fucking thing to help me. The entire time I knew them, I never asked for one fucking thing. Oh, no. They couldn't do that, and then, oh yes, we're going to do 9 hours of some other people's podcast and fucking rub it in your face. That's what did it. It was them being jackasses, being unfeeling jackasses. Simple as that. You know, people want to fucking play games and say that, oh, I was trying to get... You're trying to control them, Eric Moore. No. But I had been their friend. I had helped them get their start. And, you know, that's bullshit. You don't do that to a friend. And if you have done something like that, and it's fucking jackassy like that, you need to apologize. You need to apologize eventually, because that does no good to anyone. And it brings on karma, seriously. You know, I mean, seriously, the whole reason why I went to Jen and Sylvia a few months ago and said that I wanted to bury the hatchet was because I did. I honestly wanted to bury the hatchet. I wanted us to be friends again. I wanted to you know, and I didn't have to do that because I was the injured party. And I was going to them and saying, well, let's try to work this out. They're the ones who said no. So, you know, these trolls and stalkers and narcissists are way out of line with calling me the names they've called me. Because I'm the one who's trying to be progressive. I'm the one who's trying to clear things up. And they're the ones who are being insensitive assholes. So that's just the way it is. Anyways. And here's another thing I do have to say about these narcissists that's been after me. You take a look at them. They sit there and they talk all superior, basically saying what a pathetic piece of shit I am. Take a good look at them. Take a good look at Tom Gully. Take a good look at Lord Dixie. Take a good look at Mike White. Look at what pathetic little turds they are. You know, they're all fucking ugly little shits. They're all little fat buggers. And Tom Gully, and fucking Mike White, and even Josh Hadley. Josh Hadley fucking lost his house. He fucking lost everything because he was a fucking jackass. You know, give me a fucking break. These are pathetic people who take out the fact that their lives are so fucked up, and that, I mean, shit, Mike White has had a ongoing fight with Quentin Tarantino over bullshit. Seriously, he said that Quentin Tarantino based Reservoir Dogs on another film and stole from another film. Mike, you're full of shit. No, Quentin Tarantino took a standard gangster film, a jewelry heist, and what he did is he wrote around it. He wrote the scenes that were around the fucking movie. He didn't write, steal the movie. He wrote about the stuff that happens in between, the stuff that people don't see. And that's what makes Reservoir Dogs a masterpiece. If you actually had half a fucking brain cell and wasn't, able, if you weren't trying to start fights with people all the time, you would fucking be able to parse that out. But you know what? You're going to come back and you're going to copy this show and you're going to put it on your fucking page and talk shit with the other trolls on there. The other little pathetic losers that go on your site and sit there and mouth off. But that's all you're doing, is you're mouthing off because you're pathetic little worms. You do nothing for the horror community except bring in negativity. You tear down people who are more talented than you. So you're fucking garbage, people. You're fucking garbage. Well, anyways, that's all I wanted to do is talk about this right now. In about another 15 minutes, my time, since I'm on overtime, I will be coming back for another show. That show is going to be a lot more positive. It's going to be a lot more upbeat because I am going to be bringing in Artists in Horror Month. So be ready for that in just a few minutes. And I will catch you then. Here's a little ZZ Top to take us out of this show.